I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I hope your holidays were great. I hope you survived them, and I hope you are now focusing on you. As you know, I did a whole series of Create Your Best Life in 2024, and I have a lot going on for you in 2024, including you can still sign up for my Mindset Reset, Grow Your Business and Wealth in 2024. It's a free course, so you can find that on my website, and I'll also put it in the show notes. But I think that I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. I really believe in just creating new goals when the time is right. But so many people do start new goals in the new year. And I hope one of them is going to be to put yourself first. And that's why I started this podcast, because I really want women in midlife to embrace who they are, to rediscover who they are, to become the kick-ass women they deserve to be in the second chapter of life. And I have solo episodes. I also have amazing guests I bring on who are doing incredible things in the second chapter of their life, and experts who can help us in every aspect of our lives, from business to health and wellness to travel to sex, you name it, we talk about it. Please, if you like this podcast, please leave a review, please subscribe, because that will allow more women in midlife to find this. So let's kick off the new year right. I don't know about you, but I sit looking at what's happening in this world, and I don't necessarily want to get into politics, but I think we can all agree that so much in this country is male dominated. And even to the fact that research, medical research that is done on women's health is actually done on men. There have been no studies on menopause. Women are cast aside. And honestly, look at where that has gotten our world. Look at where we are right now. We are in a huge stinking mess. And I, for one, intend to keep lifting up voices of women who want to make a change, who want to advocate, who want to start getting into the mix, and especially in midlife saying, not only do I have a voice, but I have a purse and I'm going to use it. And I am going to spend on those organizations, those products, those brands who are supporting me, not anti-aging, pro-aging. And so that to me is such an important thing as we enter into 2024. To that point, one of the people that I have been following for a while now, and I was so excited when she agreed to be on my podcast, is Julie Fouch. She is the CEO of The Art of Feminine Business. She is just truly a remarkable hero to me. She decided she needed to take her coaching business seriously, and she hired a high-end coach and learned to market like a man, as so much of what we're told to do in business. She doubled and she tripled her income in less than a year, but felt drained, uninspired, and restless. And urged by spirit, she embraced her essential feminine and birthed a new way, the art of feminine business. Today, Julie teaches female coaches, teachers, and healers who are frustrated with traditional formulas how to build six-figure businesses that honor their feminine essence. Yes, Julie's clients report having clearer vision of their divine purpose, greater passion for their work, the skills to be attracting the perfect clients, and are being paid well for their gifts. Because that's another thing, women are still not paid what they deserve. Julie received her coach certification in 2006 from the Coaches Training Institute. She has served on the boards of numerous nonprofits and was named Woman of the Year by the Professional Women's Network of the Monterey Peninsula in 2013. She's married to the love of her life, four children, two stepchildren, sound familiar, followers, and two furry babies and eight spoiled grandchildren. Julie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here and really excited about your mission. You know, I had an aunt who used to say to me, life begins at 40. And I really think she was right. It's such a great kind of place to be at that midlife and to be able to look and say, what's my life going to mean? What's my legacy going to be on the planet? Now it's time for me. And how do I want to live my mission, my connection to source, my purpose for being here?
Oh, amen to that. You know, I have our neighborhoods turned over a lot recently, and I have a lot of young moms on the block who have toddlers and four-year-olds and getting kids off to school. And don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful time. And you have grandchildren. I'm sure it's a wonderful time, but it's a different time. And it's not a time where you can really focus on yourself. And that's what I'm loving about midlife. I first took that pause to say, who do I want to be? What do I want to do? And nothing is standing in my way anymore. And that's an amazing place to be.
Yeah, it truly is. It's you know, when you think about it, 150 years ago, we were dead at 40. And 8 or 10 kids, our bodies wore out, we were done. And so it's such a gift to be alive in this time and to have the opportunities. And even to have, like you talked about in the beginning, men still make more than women in most cases. So we even have those walls to push against, to make us stronger, to make us less complacent, to call us out of our comfort zones. And I will tell you, the comfort zone is nice. And there are days when I love nothing more than to stay in my comfort zone. But the exciting place to live is right there on the edge where you're stepping out of the comfort zone, where you're saying, I wonder if this will work. I wonder what will happen if I try this. And that's been my whole business journey is, I wonder what will happen if.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I started out building my own business. I was an entrepreneur at 24 years old, and I had no business starting that company. I was a broadcasting major. I didn't even take a business course. And I think if I had known better, I probably wouldn't have started that business. And because I didn't know any better, I said, why not? And I think that's a part of it, right? Like if you know too much, you stop yourself out of the beliefs of what it's supposed to be rather than wondering and expanding and saying, why not?
Yeah. One of the things, there's a system out in the world. There's a formula in the coaching realm that says, in order to make a lot of money, and I'm going to mess it up, but like you do a bunch of Facebook Lives and then you do a webinar to a free gift, to a program, to a live event, to your big program, right? Like it's a formula. And somebody said to me one day, who made the author of that formula God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? We all have our own ways. And when I check in with the energy of my business, with my soul, and I hear the word webinar, my whole body, my soul collapses. It's like, no, 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 no. And I've done webinars because, you know, as the intro said, I went out and learned how to do it like a man. I learned those formulas. And every time I've had a coach say to me, you should really do webinars. And I'm like, not for me. And she's like, no, no, you really should. And my whole body, I could just feel myself collapsing. I'm like, no, that's not my way. We all are unique. We all have this innate pathway that when we are able to connect with that, It's absolutely divine, both in the divine flowing through us. And it just is like, ah, so juicy and amazing. And the things that I've done that nobody thought I could do are the most delicious.
So I completely agree with what you're saying. I am so on your page, but I'm going to play devil's advocate in this because I want to ask some questions that I think maybe some listeners have. And, I think so. The only corporate job I had was in public relations. Everything else, I've been an entrepreneur. And it was in New York City, and it was high pressure, and it was very male driven. I have a lot of friends who work down at Wall Street in the investment business. There are a lot of male dominated. I mean, the stock exchange is still an old boys network. And so, how can you rise to the top, be successful, embrace the femininity while you're literally, it's being just overwhelming, the testosterone that's coming at you from the male perspective?
That's a really great question. And I think we have to stop and recognize that we all, first of all, when I talk about feminine energy, that doesn't mean passive or, all soft and weak. Look at the goddesses. Like the goddess Kali is not a weak, passive goddess, but she is fully fiery feminine. The goddess Pele is the same way, that fire. That mama bear, Persephone. I love Persephone. And because Persephone started in that soft, feminine, girly realm and became the queen of the underworld, leading lost souls to their next life. Like there is power in the feminine. And so when I talk about the feminine way, that's part of it. It's tapping into that divine power. That divine fire that lives within us. And it can be very mama bear, up front, but it's also very creative, very collaborative. The feminine is where new ideas are birthed. Women are the only ones on the planet that give birth, right? And I mean women, animals, and all of that as well in this. I think there are maybe some frogs that are endogenous and give birth. But really, the feminine is where birthing happens, where new ideas happen, where things that have never been thought of come from. And so it's tapping into that to make changes. The feminine is also very collaborative. And this is the masculine is not. The masculine is very dominating, very much about competing. And so, as we have both in us, there's a place for both to operate. There's a place where we need that driven, masculine, action-oriented to push us forward. Now, here's the thing that most people don't understand, because in the world of business, we run on the Nike theory of just do it, right? And it's a ramp up, push forward, hit the goal, ramp again, push forward. And it's a very linear, heavy push way of doing things. For women, if we can learn to work within cycles, we are much better off. And we get more done during our push weeks because we are taking our soft inward weeks.
So tell me what that soft inward week looks like.
So, for me, it looks like more self-care. I get tired much easier during those weeks. It's really interesting. So, I spend more time in the dream space. I spend more time opening to meditation and saying, what's next? Okay, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go next? What wants to be birthed through me? And I may spend some time in that week. And of course, I have clients and all of that. So I don't stop doing that work because I haven't figured out how to do that. But it really is that week of being inward. and honoring that myself. When I'm doing a launch, I don't plan a launch for that week. I plan a launch for the week when I'm in my fullest power, when I have the energy to push, when I'm being supported by the energy of the earth around me. And for me, I pretty closely follow the cycles of the moon. So not everyone does. I know women who are kind of cockeyed to the cycles of the moon, and their uptime is not the full moon, but my uptime is pretty much full moon. And so I can track it, and I can say, we're going to launch here. If I'm going to be doing something where I want to make sales, I want to make sales on the full moon because I'm going to have the most energy. I'm going to be putting out my own luminescence, so to speak, right? And so it's years of working that. The other thing about cycles is I know that I'm going to want to be less productive in December, right? Between Thanksgiving and New Year's, I'm going to be want to play be playing with my grandkids, be walking out in nature, be going down. I love to go to the mall this time of year and just people watch. Not to shop, just to people watch, right? So I know that that's a time where I don't want to do something heavy in my business. I also know that for me, the end of January, February, and March, those are really productive times in my business. And so I plan my year so that I have big stuff happening then. And I can do the push. And then I know that in August is another time when I just like to lay low in August. My energy's a little low. I'm a late summer kind of girl, right? And so I don't do a big launch in August. But maybe I'll do something in September or October when my energy is rising up again. I've been doing this long enough. I've seen those cycles in my life and in my business, and I can plan for it.
And so how can, and it's funny that you're saying that because I've never done that before, but I can feel intuitively, I know. So same as you, unfortunately, January and February are some of the most profitable and productive in my business, but that's not my high energy time. My high energy times are spring and fall. Like I just hit the ground running, and March is a really hard time. And same with you, like July, it's more quiet. So is there, what do you do when your high energy cycle doesn't jive with your time of business that's the most productive?
I think you do a lot of the work in the high energy cycles. So we just finished in my Facebook group, we finished an intention setting. You said you don't believe in New Year's goals, resolutions. I don't either, but I believe in setting an intention for the coming year. And it's a process. It's a 10-day with meditations, and I send out an email every day and I respond to people. Well, all of that work is pre-written, right? The meditations are done in the summer. And I have the energy. And now, because we've done it for several years, now it's just done. I don't have to do it again. But when I'm planning something like that, I plan the time when I'm creating the marketing to be in those times when I have the high energy, even if, the month is not one that I normally want to push, I can have the stuff go out and I have team that supports me.
So how can someone start tracking their energy cycles?
So the first thing is to just get a calendar. And get a calendar. I like to get a calendar that already has the moon cycles on it. I actually this year got a bunch of calendars because I give these to my clients and use them with my clients. I think it was the Dollar Tree or the Dollar General, whatever the dollar store is. And it's not a great big calendar. It's the smaller calendars. And then you just track. And it's got, and I've had calendars that didn't have it. And I went through and drew the moon symbols on. So I'd know where the full moon and the new moon was. Because that's information you can pick up anywhere. And it's easy to track by that. And then you just track how you're feeling. And, you know, you can do a really simple smile, frown, or straight line, like to note where your energy is. And when you start to notice that, after a few months, you start to notice your cycles and you start to notice where you are. Like there'll be days where I'll be like, I'm so tired and draggy today. And I look at my calendar and I go, oh, the new moon happens tomorrow. I'm meant to be inward. I'm meant to be thinking about what do I want to create in the next 30 days? And that's the other thing I love about this. I didn't do this when I first started learning about it. But in my Facebook group, which if any of my people are listening, we do that ritual to make sure I do that ritual. So we do a monthly ritual around setting an intention on the new moon, right? That's the inward time. That's the time where the veil between the worlds is thinner and where, when we can connect easier to source God, the universe, and we can connect with our mission and with our desires, our soul desires, not those surface desires, not the, wow, the neighbor's got a new car, I want a new car desire, but those deep desires, my desire to get money in the hands of more women, your desire to have women do self-care, take care of themselves, that comes through more clearly at that time. So we do this ritual around setting an intention. And so every 30 days, I'm able to say, what do I want to create in my business, in my life, in my world, in the next 30 days? And how do I want to invoke source creative energy to support me in this? Now, that doesn't mean that I can say, you know, I want a $20,000 month this month. I'm going to go to bed and watch cartoons or watch soap operas. I still have to do my part. But if 20,000 is still a stretch, or 10K, or even, you know, if $2,000 a month is a stretch for you, make it that $2,000 a month and then do your part.
Mm-hmm. I talk about that. It's not just the spiritual, it's the practical.
Yeah. It's the feminine and the masculine. We have both.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. So as I mentioned, I do a lot around money as well, because I feel like in many cases there is financial abuse in relationships. There is times where women just aren't aware of the money they have, and then something happens to their spouse and they just don't know what to do. And that's why I am offering my course about mindset reset. But talk to me about the money practices in this flow that can help.
Oh, such a great question. And I will tell you a little bit of my history. Is I was in an abusive marriage for 20 years. And I stayed because I didn't think I could make enough money to support my four kids. So part of my mission is, because I don't want anyone to ever feel that way. I want them to make the choice. So the first money practice is to understand what money is. And money is simply an energy. It's an energy of appreciation that we use to show appreciation for the things and the services that we're getting. And when we open and allow it to come to us, it's allowing other people to show appreciation to us. And as an energy, we control how much of it flows through us. And oftentimes our beliefs will keep that money flow small. And so it's important to look at that. And remember when I told you earlier, when people say webinars, I get all tight. Mm-hmm. Like, I know webinars are not going to work for me because I'm shutting down my channels, right? The channels that make me feel expansive, like getting on a podcast and talking to you, those are the things that are going to open my money channel. So if money is an energy, then we can communicate with it. And one of the biggest things that has changed my financial situation is actually having conversations with the energy of money. So I will drop into a meditation and I will say, can I speak with the energy of the money? And sometimes I've learned to do it with my eyes closed so I can just type whatever's coming out.
Wow.
I used to do it longhand and I'd write it out and I have journals and journals of stuff.
Wow.
And you just allow whatever messages want to come from money to come out. I actually have a meditation that I think we can give your listeners if you want.
I would love that. Yes, I'm writing that down right now. And we will put that in the show notes. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, we'll get that set up to send that meditation out to people so they can connect with the energy of money. And that's been fundamental to me. The second thing is on a physical plane, to know your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I track the money that comes in my house every day.
Me too. Yep.
I have a spreadsheet. It's on my desk where I can see it. I write it down. If I find pennies on the ground, it goes in there because it's about noticing. It's about gratitude. It's about what I want to draw more of. And then paying attention to your P&Ls. P&L is your profit and loss. I know there's our income statements so that you know what you're spending and what you're not. And it's really funny because I have clients who are bookkeepers and I'm just amazed at how little attention people pay to what's happening with their money.
I agree. And it's interesting because some people can be great at their business finances, but lousy at their personal or vice versa. And I had a situation where when I was working, making high six figures, I took my eye off the ball for our personal finances and allowed my ex-husband to manage that. And shame on me.
Yeah. You don't need to be doing your books yourself. And I really advocate for having a professional bookkeeper and a professional CPA to watch that stuff. But you need to know what you're spending mm-hmm. money on. That's how you catch money leaks. There's a money leak that I caught this morning and I'm like, oh, got to go plug that hole.
So what's a money leak?
So a money leak is like a subscription that you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
A money leak might be a charge on your account that you didn't make.
Mm-hmm.
A money leak might be you're not paying attention to how often you go to Starbucks.
Right. And right. That creeps up. Right. And especially, you know, I talk about the holiday hangover with Amazon, and it's so easy to put it in your cart over the holidays, and emotional spending where it's out of guilt or whatever it is. And then you wake up in January, like you said, looking at, oh my God, it's not just a leak. It's a full on blown flood.
And it's not something, those are not things like to beat yourself up about. It's all data. It's just information. And when you have information, you can make different decisions. You know, so the other day I have four of my grandkids on Friday afternoons.
Oh, jeez.
I pick them all up from school. The other day, from the bus, my 10-year-old granddaughter was texting me, can we go to Starbucks today? And I realized that if I take four kids to Starbucks,
oh my God,
they each get a drink and a snack. I'm like $50 into
easy
2 hours of babysitting them.
Yep, easy.
So they're going to be very unhappy today when I pick them up. We're recording this on a Friday. There's Starbucks today. but it's like knowing that. And I'm okay with doing that sometimes.
Right.
if I was doing it without thinking about it, you know, if it's going to bring me joy and bring them joy and it's conscious, that's great because it fills my bucket and filling my bucket opens me. If I'm doing it unconsciously and without thought, then it's just leaking away. And money wants to be used, money, the energy of money, wants to be used thoughtfully. It wants to be used to better the world. And some of that is, how do we live a juicy life? That's not all we have to give it away to make the world better. You know, me spending money to go on retreats in fabulous places, that elevates me. It raises my vibration. It raises the world. Me going places with my husband. Last summer, I took four grandkids, different four, took four grandkids to three amusement parks.
You're right. It fills you with joy.
And it filled me with joy. And when I was talking to Money about that just the other day, Money was like, that was right and perfect. That was a great way to spend me.
I love that you have those conversations, because I think so many people are afraid of money and they ignore it. I know I did for the longest time. And make money your friend.
Yes. Invite money over. You would not say to your best friend, well, you can come to my house, but stay in the closet and only come out when I need to use you. And then I don't want to have to think about you. You would never say that to a friend. So make money your friend.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, thinking about the cycle, because you're teaching me so much here, thinking about the cycles of the moon and your energy, I'm sure that plays into spending habits too, right?
Oh, it probably does. I never thought about that. It probably does.
Yeah, because, when you just think about retail therapy and all of that, and, you know, or just the opposite, when you're in a high and you just want to treat everybody and go out to dinner and things like that. So there's probably a lot to the cycles with that as well.
Yeah, I'll have to start tracking that. Money has just said to me, I want to be well used. I want to be thoughtfully used. And so there's nothing wrong with treating everybody thoughtful, you know, if it's not going to create stress in the future because you put it all on your credit card and now you can't pay your credit card. There is always more money. Money is one of those things. We live in a world where we are taught scarcity, and scarcity is a false belief that's taught to us to control us. There is an abundance in the world, and our ability to receive is what determines how much of it we have. So another really great money practice is learning to receive.
Mm-hmm.
How often have you been at the grocery store and they've said, can we carry out your groceries for you? And you've said, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can lift my groceries. What do you mean? Or your husband says to you, is there anything I can do for you today? And you're like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I got it covered. We got to start learning to receive.
Yeah.
Because it is that same muscle of saying yes, that is the muscle of saying yes to money.
That's a really good point.
I practice this. Yes, I would like you. And sometimes I'll even say, can you take my groceries out?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I had to really learn how to say yes to my husband asking me to help.
I think a lot of women who are successful have a hard time with that. We're just used to doing it all. And my son has intellectual disabilities and my husband has primary progressive MS and he's in a power chair. And so I do a lot for him, but I also ask him to do things for me. So he books appointments. He does things like that. And, you know, it was that, figuring out those balances that make it work for us. But yeah, you know, if I have a neighbor who's like, hey, can I help you shovel? Heck yeah.
Yeah. You say yes.
Yeah.
And that translates to when you bring team into your business, right? So you can say to your team, I need you to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the big growth places for me when I started bringing team into my business, was I'd be doing something and all of a sudden I'd say, wait a minute, somebody on my team could do this. I just save myself 5 hours a week by giving it to so-and-so to do.
Exactly.
And that's how you stretch time.
Right. And I think there's a difference between spending and investing. So often in our businesses, we are afraid to, you know, invest in a virtual assistant or invest in marketing. And that's what's going to help us grow. And like you said, allowing the money to flow.
And it flows. That's the thing. When I pay a team member, I am sending money out with love to bless that person. And she spends it and sends it out with money or with love to bless the next person. When we get caught up in holding on to all our money, it shuts down our receiving because it blocks the flow. It's a channel. It's not a bucket. It's got, you know, it flows through us like a tube. And if we want more money, our job is to stretch the tube.
I love that analogy.
Bucket.
I love that. Julie, I'm really excited because I know that you have a free resource, the Wise Witch Guide. Tell me what that is.
So this is actually, I put together several of the rituals and practices that I use to be able to tap into source, God, creative energy, the universe, whatever you want to call it, and to create from that. And I think I actually even have some money practices in that guide.
Right.
To help you tap in and be with the energy of money. I have a morning practice to cleanse your energy and to bring up your vibration so that you're attracting more of what you want in the world, and a couple of other practices in there.
That is so great. And we can get that at juliefouch.com, but I'm going to have it in the show notes so that people can get it. You also can be found on Instagram, Art of Feminine Business, and on Facebook at Coach Jules, J-U-L-Z, and then juliefouch.com. That's F-O-U-C-H-T. And we'll put that all in the show notes. So I always like to ask my guests, how would you define a midlife maverick?
Someone who is finally willing to live as herself.
I love that. I love that. Julie, my biggest regret is that you live in Monterey, because I think I would love to just hang with you. You just seem like such a fun person. And I think I'd love to hang with you in Monterey.
Yeah, come out.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. We'll go down, we'll hang at the wharf.
That is amazing. Well, Julie, thank you so much for being on this show. And everybody, please check Julie out. I'm actually going to go get a calendar with the moons, because this is just fascinating to me. And we know that things like this are so powerful. So thank you so much, Julie. And everybody, we'll see you soon. Bye now.